Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Bill DeVries, Vice President of Industry Transformation and Customer Success at Dassault Systèmes. Bill is responsible for revenue growth and driving the use of the 3D Experience platform. Additionally, Bill is a Senior Director of Academic and Education in North America, where he leads the 3D Experience EDU sales and workforce of the future efforts by working closely with prominent universities, colleges, and technical institutions. Welcome to the podcast, Bill.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
So the first question I like to ask is, how did you originally get involved with semiconductors? Do you have an interesting story you can share?
Yeah, I certainly do. Thank you for asking the question. From my background, I started at Dassault 14 years ago. I've been in the PLM space for 27 years. When I came to Dassault, I started out in the automotive industry, spent some time, number of years in the automotive industry selling into major OEMs. From there, I learned quite a bit about high tech and the high tech space. They promoted me to a manager, and I was running our high tech division for Dassault Systèmes, which started back in 2015. From 2015 to 2017, I ran that high tech space, and I got to know the semiconductors and the importance that the chips have in almost every aspect of our life, from automotive, from where I started here at Dassault Systèmes, to high tech, to everything in your wallet, your credit cards, to home appliances. Everything is using semiconductor chips. So I grew up my appreciation for those chips and the importance of those through my experience here at Dassault.
Yeah, so let's talk about your experience with the educational institutions and talk a little bit about the workforce. You know, what specific semiconductor skills are you finding most in demand currently, and you know, what market trends are driving this?
So let me start with the market trends. For me, and I think for everybody in the audience, there was an appreciation for the supply chain shortages that took place during COVID and post-COVID. It really highlighted the dependency that we have in the supply chain, specifically around semiconductor chips. There are others that are out there, but it really, from a national defense standpoint, from a delivery of automobiles, their chips are everywhere. And so the importance of it has really been driven by that the highlighting of the supply chain shortage that occurred recently. The demand is coming from the U.S. government, from individual companies and corporations here in North America and all across the world. They're demanding that they break this need and demand for just a couple of countries to be supplying these chips. They want to repatriate the manufacturing of the chips. There is a lot of design that's already done here in North America, but the manufacturing is an area that there's a major gap. In talking with a lot of our customers here at Dassault Systèmes, we see that the desire from those corporations is to bring that back here to the U.S. And in doing so, what they're looking to do is they need the talent to be able to do that. The engineering and specifically around manufacturing of the chips is going to be something that's going to be needed over the next coming 3 to 5 years as they ramp up the production. We're seeing that from the U.S. government with the U.S. CHIPS Act that was just recently put into law, and that is really driving this.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the industry for 4 years, and I'm just amazed at how famous we are now. I mean, we're front page news, and it was part of the shortages, as you mentioned, but semiconductors, you know, are all the buzz. And as you mentioned, the CHIPS Act, all the governments are getting involved, you know, trying to onshore. So what are your thoughts about the recent developments in the CHIPS Act, and how will this impact the semiconductor industry and workforce in the long run?
It's a very exciting time for us because I do think it is going to impact it in a profound way. And you just saw a couple of weeks ago with the announcement of Intel, the $8.5 billion tranche that the government gave. So the money is starting to trickle out from that $52 billion CHIPS Act that was signed. So it's a very exciting time for us. I think we're all trying to figure out, both from a engineering software standpoint, how do we fit into that? What does it mean for us? How can we help? And then from a corporation standpoint, they're looking at how can they get a hold of some of this money in order to further their their desires to move into the manufacturing realm here in the U.S. That ranges from everywhere to finding space for a new factory, finding the workforce to be able to drive that. So these are all going to be critical things. So it's a very exciting time for us here in the U.S.
Yeah, you know, the workforce is heavily loaded with people like myself, you know, who have been around for 30 or 40 years. And, you know, we need new people in this industry, and we are definitely workforce challenged, especially with all the building we're doing for the onshoring. So what do you envision for the future of the semiconductor workforce and its talent shortage?
There is a real shortage. You're bringing up a very, very good topic for your audience here, because it is one that's going to play out, and it's playing out right now. We've partnered with Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. They've recognized the shortage and the need to be able to develop this. You also mentioned in your question that you've been around for 30, 40 years. The amount of time that it takes to gain the knowledge to be able to produce and manufacture a chip is enormous. This is something that you don't just learn through a couple of classes. This is something that typically the design and fabrication and production of chips are being done by people that are very, very seasoned with high level of degrees and training that takes place. So again, back to our partnership with Purdue, we're looking to partner with universities like Purdue and others to be able to raise the level of engineers, to raise the level of people that want to go into this space, to be able to do it and produce high quality chips, to be able to manufacture the at scale the chips that will sustain our defense, as well as all of our day-to-day lives, the demands that we have for chips. So it's going to absolutely be key that we have the backing of universities, colleges, to be able to drive this workforce. And we must start now. The real key for me is the urgency that we're seeing. We're seeing it with the colleges now, and we're starting to see the demand come from students. The students want to find a profession where they'll have a job coming out of college, coming out of university. And this is one that people are starting to really pay attention to and are looking at going into. So it's a very important one for us. It's one that we're focused on. We think that we're uniquely positioned in the space to be able to help colleges and universities get their students ready for this workforce in semiconductors.
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, I double majored in computer science and electrical engineering, and I assumed I would be a programmer. But when I actually finished the program, the jobs were 10, you know, engineers to one programmer. And yeah. So I really wasn't as prepared as I could have been. You know, it all worked out well. But can you go into a little bit more detail about what Dassault Systèmes' role is in preparing for the next generation of semiconductor engineers to the workforce?
Absolutely. So thank you for that. Dassault Systèmes, we think we're uniquely positioned in this market space to help students, to help professors, faculty, as well as colleges and universities to help the young students turn into seasoned engineers around semiconductor design and manufacturing. And the reason for that is we create something called a virtual twin. There's other people out there that talk about digital twins, and our technology, our solution stack, our solution suite enables for all the information from design all the way through manufacturing to be done on one platform without any files, which is extremely important. All of the inputs and outputs are completely synced. So whether that's a design, the design of a chip, and then it goes into the manufacturing process, how that's going to be manufactured, all of that is seamless. There aren't different file exchanges that are going back and forth. This enables us to create this virtual twin of the entire process. And what that virtual twin does is it puts the entire process on a computer. And as you know, with your 30 to 40 years of experience in this space, that getting room, getting time in a manufacturing space, getting time in a clean room is very, very precious. It's very, very expensive to get access to it. And it's done on a very small scale, typically. This doesn't lend itself to large scale training and education. And so what we're able to do with partnerships like Purdue and Lam Research, we're able to create this virtual environment that allows students to be immersed into a clean room, into a production facility, without having to go into it. So as they do, they're going through their training on a certain machine, a certain process, they can do it virtually using our software to simulate what that environment looks like. So when they actually do get time into a lab, into a production facility, they're able to be productive right away. They're able to have the knowledge, the foundational knowledge to be able to go in and make an impact immediately.
Wow, that sounds great. I think the workforce we have today in the universities are very comfortable with virtual technology. So I think that's going to be successful. How can corporations and academia continue working together to build the next generation of talent?
Great question. So for us at Dassault Systèmes, we think that we're uniquely positioned to help and enable that collaboration that needs to take place. We've got our 3D experience platform that creates these virtual twins that allows students and professionals to be able to go in and experience this virtual twin of a clean room, which and a process that they may go through, but then also the equipment and the machinery that is produced. So as these companies want to build and design and manufacture semiconductor chips, they're going to have certain processes and certain equipment that are going to be produced by corporations all around the globe. And it's this collaboration between the equipment manufacturers, the facilities, the design facilities, the buildings that they're in, the clean rooms that they're in, that all need to interact together. So as these equipment and the processes change and evolve, we're going to evolve and change our virtual twin. It'll keep track of both the equipment, the process. So if they need to maintain it, if they need to change out certain pieces, we'll do it first in the software. We'll be able to simulate and test it. We'll be able to educate and train on updates, on new components, new parts, new processes, all throughout the entire process. So what that's going to do is it's going to make create value for the corporations as well as create value for the users, whether those are corporate users or whether they're in education and they're just learning how to use the equipment.
Interesting. Last question, Bill. How can companies optimize their work environment to maximize the potential of existing workers and new workers, and really create an attractive workplace for employees?
Another very good question. Thanks. So one of the big buzzwords that are going around education today is upskilling. And how do we upskill, take the existing workforce that we have and upskill them? So for example, we do have a lot of capabilities around the design of chips today. It's really the manufacturing and how do we convert and shift some of those people from that design and fabrication to the manufacturing of semiconductor chips. And so it's going to take, yes, some upskilling in the existing workforce, but it's also going to take bringing new people into this space. And it's through collaborations with corporations and education, academic or organizations to be able to do this, to be able to create the new workforce of the future that they can leverage to transform this industry from just one of design to one of design and manufacturing here in North America.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill, for your time and very interesting conversation. And hopefully we can follow up later on in the year to get an update on how things are going.
Thank you, Daniel.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.